here at this early time, that's what I understand. There, so far, has been no bills coming to the office, so there's been nothing to sign or to veto.
That is somebody that Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History thinks we will know when we find out who this mystery guest is. It's part of this week's collection of archives from the Pryor Center. Randy Dixon is with me on the phone. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. Thanks for bringing some more archives to us this Monday.
Well, yes, I really enjoyed. I dipped in, did a little time capsule. This is June of 1972, and that voice we heard was from a young man who was actually the governor of Boys State in 1972. Just a little teaser there, but we'll have more from him later in this episode, and we'll let you know who it is,
okay.
Or I want you to guess, because I haven't told you.
No, you have not. And I have a guess ready, but I don't think I'm right. So I'm anxious to hear who
okay.
it is. All right. So
okay, well, it doesn't, his voice has changed considerably over the years. But, you know, when we talked last week, you were wondering, gosh, I don't even know what happened in June of 72. And I started looking into things, and, you know, worldwide, some things happened in 72. You want to hear a couple of highlights?
Please.
Let's see. Billie Jean King won the French Open women's singles title. David Bowie released his groundbreaking album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The musical Grease opened on Broadway, and there just happened to be five unknown men arrested for breaking into the DNC office at the Watergate complex.
Well,
so it was a pretty eventful month,
right?
Back in 72,
right?
But I found some things that happened in Arkansas that might be kind of fun to listen to.
None of us were talking about the Watergate break-in in Arkansas in June 72, were we?
No. it had not been broken yet, actually. Right. This first clip is from Governor David Bumpers, and it was actually a Memorial Day speech, which means it was actually the day before June 1st. It was May 31st. But it was filed in June when they were filing all the films. So I thought I'd put it in because, you know, Dale Bumper's such a great speaker. And these are his comments at a ceremony for Memorial Day.
An English philosopher once said that there's nothing more utterly impossible than undoing that which is already done. Wars begin easier than they end. And they usually begin because there is no appeal to reason. And while, as I said, I am optimistic about our future, I know that in the past our memories have been short. Our devotion to noble causes has been equally short. Our attention span to the very best things has been short. This is the reason we here today should take a solemn vow that henceforth every day will be a Memorial Day, a day of reason in the renewed hope that those who gave their last full measure of devotion shall not have done so in vain.
Governor Dale Bumpers speaking on Memorial Day in 1972. We're going back through really, June 1972, to hear what some of the things that happened in Arkansas. Now,
and that summer was also a Democratic primary,
which meant everything in Arkansas.
Oh, absolutely, and this was a big one for the U.S. Senate because it pitted David Pryor and John McClellan, and they had a heated primary and. I've got a little bit here from John McClellan talking about the upcoming primary election.
The choice is very clear. the people can continue in office an independent, effective senator who is not subservient to the will and the dictates of any special interest, or they can make a prior commitment, as my opponent urges them to do. I never give up. I think we've got an excellent chance for victory.
John McClellan, who was running for re-election in 1972, of course, John McClellan was an individual who always kind of looked older than he was, and he was a veteran member of the Senate at this point. And and David Pryor has always been someone who kind of looks younger than he is. And so the contrast, I remember, in 1972 was this anchor of the U.S. Senate, John McClellan, against this, you know, rising...
upstart.
Yeah.
But, you know, McClellan won. He won the primary, and then he won the general election. But after his defeat of David Pryor, you'll recall the name Julian Bond.
Oh, yes.
He was a social activist and a member of the Georgia State Senate, and he visited Arkansas and expressed his extreme displeasure with McClellan's victory.
I think Senator McClellan did as well as he did in black communities in this state for a couple of reasons. First, because black people were fooled into believing that a few of the good things that may have trickled down their way because of him might disappear if he somehow magically disappeared, which is certainly not true. Secondarily, it's a sad but true fact that money can change people's minds. And I've been given to understand that Senator McClellan had a lot of money before the primary runoff and doesn't have as much now. And that a lot of people voted for him who ordinarily would not have done so, because money does make people do strange things. And unless and until black people in Arkansas and all the other states can begin to free ourselves from dependence on outside money, we will never be able to organize an independent black electorate in this country.
Now, you know what's amazing to me? I thought Interstate 40 was something that God created on the sixth day. I didn't think it had ever not
been around forever.
I never consider times before I-40, but when we go back to 1972, I-40 wasn't done yet?
It wasn't even finished through Arkansas, much less the rest of the country. It actually wasn't completed until the late 80s. But in 72, the last 5 miles in Arkansas were completed. So it was a very, very big deal. And one of the Arkansas Highway Commission members, John Harsh, there was a big ceremony there along the interstate near Memphis, and he spoke about the upcoming completion.
Interstate 40 stretches 2,410 miles from Greensboro, North Carolina to Barstow, California, spanning 8 states. It is the 4th longest interstate route in the nation. As yet, none of the states have their I-40 mileage completed. North Carolina lacks an interchange in the Winston-Salem area. Tennessee lacks about 20 miles around Knoxville. We anticipate having the remaining 5 miles in Arkansas, comprised of the Memphis Bridge and its approaches, complete and open to traffic in 1973. Oklahoma and the other states west of us also lack some mileage. I-40 has shortened the distance between Little Rock and Fort Smith in both miles and time, all the while increasing the miles traveled and decreasing the number of fatalities comparably.
You know, when I hear that cut, Randy, and we're listening to archives from the David and Barbara Pryor Center from Arkansas Oral and Visual History relating to June 1972. When I hear that cut, I start to mentally think, how did one before I-40 drive from Little Rock to Fort Smith? What was the preferred route?
Oh, gosh. It wasn't easy, I don't think. But, you know, just a little bit of information about I-40 that I kind of came across. You know, it runs east to west, coast to coast through 8 states. But for 1,000 miles from Arkansas to California, it follows the route of what was called Beale's Wagon Road, which was a trail. It went from Arkansas to California. And like I said before, it wasn't completely finished until the late 80s, and it was the last segment that connected Wilmington to Raleigh. And a funny thing, it prompted, you remember Charles Carroll from CBS, who did much traveling himself, but he was quoted as saying, thanks to the interstate highway system, it's now possible to travel from coast to coast without seeing anything.
That's a great line.
Yeah. As only Charles Carroll could do.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Boy State.
All right, let's listen to this first.
And, 1972.
All right, this is the person elected governor of Boy State in 1972, and this is someone that, we would know, right? If you bring, when we hear this name. Okay.
Yes, if you can see who this is.
All right, let's listen.
Well, the legislature will be meeting the Senate and the House, and these people were elected by each the different counties, and they will be trying to pass bills and resolutions today. And there's several real important issues that should be coming up today in the House and our Senate.
You were talking earlier about no-fault insurance. Has that come up in the legislature today?
To my knowledge, it has come up in the House, and it was defeated in the House. I can't confirm that, but here at this early time, that's what I understand. There, so far, has been no bills coming to the office, so there's been nothing to sign or to veto.
All right, Randy, when I hear that, I do not recognize the voice at all. I think I recognize the cadence or the style of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, so I'm going to tell you my thought process on this because you did not tell me who this was.
Okay.
It's obviously someone who is pretty well known. I don't think you'd give us this if it wasn't. Okay. 1972 would make that person, because you do this, you go to Boy State or Girls State the year before you're a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. So that means this person was 17, roughly, at this time. Which would make this person about 64 or 65 right now.
Mm-hmm. You've put a lot of thought into it.
Well, yeah, I have. So, and I know it. The most famous Arkansan to come out of Boys State was Bill Clinton, but that was 1963
right.
Because he went to Boys Nation and got to meet John Kennedy. There's a famous photograph of that.
That's correct.
So it's not Bill Clinton.
That famous picture, yes.
Skip Rutherford. Who is the outgoing dean at Clinton School? Okay, no. Who?
It was Mike Huckabee.
Well, the timeline makes sense.
Not only did it not sound like him, it didn't look like him. And when Jim Pitcock had put the archives together in the late 70s, it was just cataloged as governor of Boy State because at the time nobody really knew who Mike Huckabee was. He had not come to political prominence yet.
People in Texarkana knew who he was, right? Because he was the pastor at the largest church in Texarkana.
He was not known around the state, and it wasn't until about 2 or 3 months ago that Jim Pitcock called me and said, you need to look at this, you know, MCR tape here and guess who that is. And I looked at it, and he said, it's Mike Huckabee.
Wow.
And then after he said that, I saw it, and I could hear it.
Well, two things make sense now, knowing. A, because Mike Huckabee always wanted to be a broadcaster. He might have already been working in radio as a teenager when he did this, so you can hear how well he speaks.
With his church.
Yes. Second, as is the case with so many of our Arkansas governors, he's kind of a wonk, right? I mean, and you listen to that cut, and as governor of Boy State, he's talking about no-fault insurance, and the House of Boy State didn't pass it or did. It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right.
You got one more cut for us, right?
One more, and, you know, this is, again, the summer of the primary, and Governor Dale Bumpers was a candidate in the Democratic primary, which he won easily, but he's has a speech here about voting and voting your conscience, and it just struck me as what a great speaker he was and what a great statesman he was.
Now is the time to say to our children, we're serious. We're willing to make the sacrifice and, yes, occasionally vote against our own selfish interest when that's required. These are the things that require leadership. Leadership, of course, is that mark of being able to convince people that things ought to be done simply because they're right.
Dale Bumpers in 1972 running for governor. Back then, you were always running for governor because they were two-year terms. You'd get inaugurated, and then you had to start your campaign again.
Exactly.
But, yeah, he was quite the orator. Well, this was fun. Another tour, and, you know, we got all sides of the political aisle this time. We heard from a young Mike Huckabee, a still young Dale Bumpers, and a not very young John McClellan.
That's right. Well, and so next week is a holiday week, right?
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to put together a little Christmas segment, if you will.
Okay.
That I'm pretty excited about.
Huh.
I have some surprises.
Oh, well, as we found out today, I love surprises. I think listeners do, too. All right.
Well, I enjoyed it, Kyle.
I did too, Randy. People can find, go to the Pryor Center, put Pryor Center in a search engine, and find that Mike Huckabee video. They can find it there now, right?
Yes.
And see if you agree with Randy that it doesn't look like the man who would become governor and a presidential candidate. You can find much more there. Randy, as always, thank you for your time and thank you for the archives.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. I'll see you next week.